Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, can I teach? Some people that are joining us for the first time will say, which kind of mad church is this? Amen? Calm down. Let's teach, all right? You know, some people don't believe Jesus used to shout, so calm down. Amen? And we said escapism is a wrong mindset. You know what it means to escape, right? How many of you have ever been involved in something that you escaped before? Anybody? You see people say, I escaped a ghastly motor accident. Say, I escaped herdsmen, the popular one. Escape bandits. Escape one chance. Escape COVID-19, yes. Especially one chance. Recently, it's one chance that is raining. Escape them. Hallelujah to Jesus. By escape, we mean you run away for your life. It's just like, you know, when you are done escaping, you see yourself doing like, even the people who say, he escaped, he escaped. They will not say he left, they will say he escaped. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So imagine Satan saying, do not escape, he escaped to heaven. As if, it means if we want to be escaped into heaven, it means we're under pressure upon the face of the earth.
Yes, sir.
Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There's some sort of a problem on there, that's why I want to be escaped into heaven. Let me give you a little history about the escapism mindset. There was a man called Saint, who started a monk movement in the Orthodox. Is it Saint Augustine? Yes. I think he's a co-founder of the monk. There are some Orthodox pastors or priests they call the monk. Have you heard about them?
Yes, sir.
And their belief is that, hallelujah to Jesus. If you talk in that place, we'll lock you in this media room. Hi, God. GCM. It's me that started all this while. Hallelujah. Let me use what I just did to explain something to you. You know, when you are drinking water, you stop quick. But when you take juice, you'll be taking. You know, life is not sweet if you are always drinking. If you have something extraordinary, it's sweet. You have eternal life. Pastor Peter is wondering what mystery I broke. You're on your own. Are we together? So you see, we are not trying to escape the earth. We are not trying to escape the earth. I was even preferring without light. We are not trying to escape the earth. Satan is not that big that is making us want to be escaping to heaven. So that man of God, the saint, Augustine, some sort of, he had this movement called the monk movement. Is it monk or some? I think monk. And his belief was this, that the earth is full of bad things. There are a lot of bad things in this world. And are you people here?
Yes, sir.
Focus, everybody. Look at me. He believed that the earth is so full of bad things, all right? And he believed that the only way to save yourself is to hide yourself in a closet and not see anything happen in this world. So if you are not seeing anything happen in this world, you are free from any kind of temptation. That was his belief. He just wants to be in a quiet place and one day go and meet his God in heaven. That was his belief. So he started what they call the monk movement. And if you know about them, they lock themselves in a place for a long time. They are just in an environment for a very, very long time. But they did all of those things, but the thing is not still working. The nature of sin is stronger than that system. The nature of sin is so strong such that even if you don't wear your ring, you will still you may still be walking in sin. You don't wear trousers, you can still have the nature of sin. You know, one time, I'm not trying to mock, we had this lady in BSU who would not wear trousers, neither would she wear earring. And one time she was pregnant. And when she became pregnant, she was ashamed of coming to BSU, school, lectures. And I remember someone I know was mocking her, a lady. So I said, the Holy Spirit just made me to feel what she was feeling in her heart. I said to them, well, you may not understand, but this lady is going through a lot. She really loves God. For her to choose this path, she has good intention for God. But you see, the nature of sin is too strong. All right? I'm not saying it's stronger than the nature of God. It's stronger than all of those decorations in the physical. Sin is first a nature before an act. So she was looking that way like she was holy. She had this form of godliness, but she denied the power thereof. What I mean is that she only looked like a holy person. She didn't have the beliefs that should make her holy. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? And so she saw herself doing what other normal people will do. I remember I judged a case again of a young man that people called pastor from his youth. So diligent, so decent. And one time he got married. And they now discovered that this young man is not interested in intercourse with his wife. He would rather virtually imagine other women and satisfy himself. You know, I was the one that judged the case many years ago. And when the wife discovered what he does, because he would just be disguising himself and flirting with ladies online, and they would not know it's him, but he's just doing a lot of things that stuff. And she reported, and I just turned my eyes towards him and he started crying. I said, why are you crying? So he said, almost removing this thing from his nose. Is it Qatar? Amen? Qatar from his nose. And is it Qatar? They call it a big Qatar. All right. From his nose. Is there another word for it? Mucus. I prefer that. And I said, but why are you crying? He said, sir, I really don't like this thing. I've tried to stop it several times before now. In fact, I thought when I get married, it will go. But it didn't go. Well, pastor, I promise you, I'm not what you and my wife just discovered about me. And he started crying. And I looked at him. And I could tell he was being sincere. He described himself to me, told me how they called him a pastor, blah, blah, blah. And when the nature of sin was rising, he couldn't come out to behave like everybody because they've given him the name, what? Pastor. So he'd rather hide himself and be behaving like them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You see, religion is so dangerous. There are a lot of hypocrites who are practicing religion. A lot of hypocrites. Now, hypocrite, not trying to mock them now. I'm not trying to mock them. Hypocrite by nature of the circumstance. Are you get what I'm trying to say? They really love God. They started well, but as they were going, the test of time, life shook them, and they saw that life is deeper than what we are practicing. So they started hiding themselves to do all of those rubbish that the worldly people are doing. But they will still come to church on Sunday and still do all the religious practices. Are you get what I'm trying to say to you? Very important. So you see, that has kept a lot of Christians under bondage for a long period of time. Jesus is not a fan of religion. Jesus did not start religion. Are you listening to me? In fact, religion is the greatest threat to Christianity, not another religion outside Christianity. This religious Christianity is the greatest threat to true Christianity. Because you know why? It appears like it is the truth, but it is not the truth. The Bible says, if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Meaning a greater darkness is the darkness that appears as truth. I don't know that people get what I'm trying to say. So religious Christianity appears like the true Christianity. It is more dangerous than anything. Just like what we call familiar spirit. It's an enemy from within, but we're not recognizing it as an enemy. So Satan is using this religious Christianity to deal with us. Look, for instance, what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Let's see it briefly. Maybe 55 or 53. Give me 55. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Oh, that where is thy? Oh, hate, where is your? Next part of scripture. Everybody read. The sting. Read again, one, two, go. What is the strength of sin? The law. How can you imagine that the strength of sin, what gives sins a lot of power, is the law? A certain kind of belief in the Old Testament. All right? Why? Look at what God said. In is it Hebrews 7:13? Let's see it briefly. Hebrews 7:13. And go behind 12. Go behind 11. Go behind 10. Get it for me that says, if the first order was faultless, there will be no need for the second. Verse what? Verse 8? Is it there? Check it. Check your Bibles, then give it to me. Give us verse 8. I'm hearing 8, 9. You people are playing chess with us. See verse 8. You have your Bible, so you can open them and confirm. All right, see verse 9. Okay, 8, 7. All right, 8, 7. For if that first covenant had been what? Then no place would have been sought for a second. Meaning the first covenant had what? A fault. Are you listening? That's why the second covenant had to come. Now see what the Bible said. It said the strength of sin is the law, the first order that had a fault. Meaning if you are following that order that has a fault, Satan will use it to what? Strengthen sin in your life. Because it will be appearing like it is the real order, but it is not the real order. God was not the initiator of the first order. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? Very important. In the first covenant, under the first covenant, God did not interface with men directly. They had mediators. And the person their mediator interfaced with was not God, but what? An angel. Moses interfaced with an angel, not God Almighty. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So God is trying to make us understand that that first covenant is not the actual covenant. It was only added because it was not time for the actual one to find expression. But now that the actual one has come, neglect it. You know what the devil is doing now? He's making sure that we hold on to the first one very tight. So many people holding on to the first covenant are the ones practicing religion in Christianity today. See, for instance, what the Bible still says. Paul speaking in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 3, 15. I want everybody to read. 2 Corinthians 3, 15. Want to go? You see it? Say it in Amplified Version. It's that till this day, wherever Moses represents the law, wherever Moses is read, a veil hinders people from seeing Christ. Let's read in the Amplified. Want to go? So why are they blind? They are setting their eyes where? On Moses, the law. The Bible calls the law the strength of what? Sin. We are saying Satan should be the strength of sin. But the Bible says no, the law is the strength of what? Sin. Wrong practices. You see why doctrine is powerful. You cannot just be practicing Christianity. If you like, remove your earring. Don't wear trousers as a lady. If you don't deal with wrong doctrines in your heart, it will cause you to still walk in sin. It will cause you to walk in sin. You'll be wondering, like Paul was wondering. Remember, Paul was living by the law before. Hope you know that. Before he repented, hope you know that. And let me break this mystery before we end. Romans 7, verse 1. I've done it several times. It said, I speak to them that know the law. I want everybody to read. Romans 7, 1. Want to go? Or do you not know, brothers? For I am... Stop. The word know there is ginosko. Everybody said want to go. Ginosko. It's a Greek word for experiential knowledge. Knowledge that comes from what? Experience. Are we together? Just like the knowledge of a man knowing his wife, some sort of, is interpreted yada in the Hebrew. It simply means that Paul is speaking to people that will understand him because they have an experience with the law. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Not to us specifically, but we can learn from it. Paul said, he started by saying, as long as the law, blah, 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 that the law has jurisdiction to rule over a person as long as he lives. But this is not the focal point. Run to verse 13. Verse 13. All right, give me verse 14 because it's too long. Let's just read verse 14. One, two, go. For we know that the law... But I'm what? What does Paul mean by the law is spiritual? Thou shalt not steal. Is it spiritual? Yes. Thou shalt not commit fornication. Is it spiritual? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Is it spiritual? These are the ways of a spiritual man. But the law as a system is bad. Look at verse 13 to understand it. Has then what is good become dead to me? Certainly not. But sin that in my appear sin was producing what? Death in me through what is good. You see? You see that? So it's not like do not sin is bad. But Satan is using the law as a system to produce sin in us. Because when we become sin conscious, then we begin to walk in sin more. When you are scared not to do something, you find yourself doing the thing you are scared not to do. I hear people get out and trying to explain. Do you get this point? Very important. So that sin through the commandment may become exceedingly sinful. Now give me verse 14 again, then we'll read verse 15. Everybody, let's read together. For we know the law is what? But Paul is saying that we, even though the law is spiritual, we are so under the nature of what? Sin and death. Them in that time were not us in the New Testament. He was speaking to his brothers and sisters that don't want to receive Christ. Because he was with them. You know, Paul was a Jew Christian. He had those laws as his belief. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So he was preaching to his brothers at that particular time to run away from the law and embrace grace in Christ Jesus. Isn't it? Verse 15. He said, for what I am doing, I do not understand. Paul said, I don't even understand what is happening. Now, Paul was trying to tell them a story. Remember, this is not Paul's present condition at that time he was writing this. He was writing this to deliver of people who had the wrong beliefs. They were following the law. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So he was using his life as an example. For I don't know, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. That's the exact thing that is wrong with some religious Christians. The thing they hate is what they want to do. They preach against it, they talk against it, yet they go back and they feel like doing those things. Why? Verse 14 explains it. The law is spiritual, but they are sold under the nature of what? Sin and death. They have another nature, but they are preaching another thing, another lifestyle from another nature. You must understand that you have a new nature. Say, I have a new nature. 2 Peter 1 says, we are partakers of God's divine nature, and we have escaped the corruption that is in the world. True loss. We have escaped the corruption. Not escape into heaven. Escape the corruption in the world. So that corruption cannot subject us. We've got a new nature. Having the nature is a victory. Say, I've got a new nature. And so I'm victorious. What is then, how are we supposed to live our life now? Stop being conscious of the probability of falling to sin. Stop being conscious of it. Don't go back home and be saying, how can I stand the test of time? You can. In fact, you it's not you can. You have passed from death unto life. That's what the Bible said. Always see yourself acting the script. It has been written about you. You are victorious. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. So anytime you feel like doing anything that is wrong, know that you are not supposed to do what is wrong. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I have what it takes not to do it, even if I feel like doing it. And so as you know that you have what it takes, because knowledge is bigger than feeling. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Knowledge is bigger than feeling. What do you now do? The strength of the spirit finds expression. One of the fruit of the spirit is called self-control. The ability to constrain yourself not to do what you're not supposed to do. So that you don't do what you're not supposed to do. For instance, one of the major sins that deals with Christians, a lot of young Christians, is the sin of immorality. I can tell you 90% of you people here don't steal. 90% of you people here do not lie. But we can say a fair percentage probably are struggling with immorality. Not immorality, obvious immorality. When I say obvious immorality, I don't mean Oche comes and mean Agatha and say, I love you, talk your own. That's what I'm trying to talk about. I'm talking about somebody going back, and while we're children, they told us, this is bad, that is bad, blah, blah, blah. Especially certain aspect of our lives. You know, when you are in church and the pastor mistakenly talks something about sex and you smile, your mother turns to you or your father turns to you and say, what did you understand there? You know, things like that. When they are saying some kind of things about husband and wife and you are smiling, they'll say, go back to children church. So it made us to go and sit down and say, what is in that box that they are hiding from us? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Some of us, we now went and inquired from the wrong place. We inquired from demonic places. So when we inquired from demonic places and they taught us those things, then some of us, we are born again now, but our minds are not renewed yet. So you see a lady saying that, I cannot marry a man that cannot satisfy, I don't even know how to say the word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You'll not be wondering, what does she know about satisfaction? If God is the one that taught you that syllabus, that area of life, you would have not talked like that. But you've learned from the world. And now you are behaving like a wild animal. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Because you learned from the wrong places. You learned from the wrong places. I remember the first day in my life while I was growing up, a friend of mine told me, he said, Prophet, sex is a blessing. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I was just shouting for him. What kind of rubbish is this? Apostle, you have backslided though. He said, sex is a blessing. I said, what kind of stupid thing is that? Like, get out. He now came and said, calm down, prophet. He said, who created sex? I wanted to say Satan. But I thought about my life, how that I came through that means. So I said, okay, go ahead and say what you want to say. I couldn't even answer him. He said, God created it for something beautiful. But Satan has taken it and is making sure people see it from the wrong side. He said, everybody in this world that wants to have children must pass through that process. So he now asked me, is it God that created this or Satan? I said, God. He said, then it's a blessing. But if you are ignorant about it, Satan will make it look like it's a curse. Listen carefully. I've forgotten the title of the book he gave me. Is it The Purity of the... I'll remember it. Maybe I'll share with some of you. But I've forgotten the title. He shared the book with me that day. He was actually reading the book. That's why he had the impetus to tell me that. He said, if you don't understand this and don't see sex from the pure side, you eternally become addicted to wrong things. It's a blessing. It's not a curse. God created it. And if we see it from the pure perspective, we'll never be addicted to anything sexual. We will know that at the right time, God wants us to exploit with our partners. At the right time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? These are strange teachings. So I'm helping you. You know, sometimes when I see when they teach reproduction, when I remember when they teach reproduction in my secondary school, my mind used to laugh and say, God, I wish I knew this thing before that time. You know, it was the best moment in class. Can you remember? The day they taught reproduction biology in your class, can you remember how nice that day was? Everybody, the mumu in the class too, was shouting, yes, teacher! Everybody liked the topic. Especially when they now get to puberty. And they start explaining the characteristics of a boy or a girl coming to the point of puberty. Everybody's like, wow! And they are making jests of each other, saying rubbish in the class. You know what they are doing? They are exposing those people to information that they cannot manage. Let me share a story with you. There was a young man I knew in my secondary school. After we graduated and he found out I was doing the things of God, he came and confided in me for something. He said, Pastor Simon, I am addicted. to masturbation. So I was like, how long now? He said, at SS3. I said, SS3? He said, yes. He said, let me tell you how it started. Remember one day, of course I was not there, so I couldn't really remember. They were gissing about something, and the boys were talking about it. And they described it to the boy. You don't know it, he said, I don't know it. He said, ah, what boy? And he said, wait, explain it more. They thought it was a joke. They didn't know he was trying to cram how they were explaining it. When he went back home, he said that was the day he tried to explore. And that was the day his life never remained the same. So I said, that little joke? He said, yes, sir. That small discussion. You know the Bible says wrong word? Corrupt word? He said, that little discussion, Pastor. He said, I've seen myself done things that I said, I am better than this. I'm telling you the truth. If you heard what that young man did, at a point, oh my goodness, there's no need to talk about those things. They were too dirty. He was explaining to me. So he said, we started in school together, and if I look at you, I'm just excited for your life. And I feel I can be better than whatever is happening to me right now. But look at how he started that little event. He just heard it and he just went. I said, I'm misbehaving. That's why I believe, and one person that believes that the first place you should learn these things is in church. Not in school. I believe so. I told my wife, or if I've not told her before, I'm telling her now, that if we have children, daughters, male, she will be the first one to teach them that. Yes. I'll be in the bedroom while she's teaching them. Not the world. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When it's time, she'll call them. Look at their syllabus. What are you learning next week? Reproduction. Say, ah, this week we are doing kingdom reproduction. I'll teach you. Before they teach in class, we'll force them to what? Teach at home. And explain so that when they are just teaching in class, it will be revision. And they'll be sieving out what is not necessary. Because some of the teachers that haven't teach, man, they have mental problem. Now some of them that will be teaching, you will know that something is not right in their mind. Especially coppers. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Are you here tonight? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So there's a pure side to all of these things. But the devil wants to get you misinformed. Listen, they did a statistics. And they found out that over 60% to 80% of what teenagers do online is tied to pornography. Over 60 to 80%. The chief things they do online is tied to pornography. It is not something to be able to sleep about. It is something what? Dangerous. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So when they said it, I was amazed. I had to go and do my own research too, and I verified it. It's true. So the pastor now told me, he said, Pastor, do you know that most religious Christians are suffering from these things too? I said, I think I agree. Most religious Christians, in fact, even us, if it's not that we learned the word of God early. People of God, I remember one time I had a friend while we were growing up. He said to my ear, he said, oh boy, I'm tired of all this sin. And I looked at him, I said, the Lord forgive you. We're growing up together, praying in tongues. We have prayed 2 days, 3 days. I'm not joking, we fasted days. And one day he looked at me, he said to my ear, oh boy, this thing don't tire me. And I looked at him, I said, what is wrong with you? He said, I found myself doing things that I cannot explain. That's what he told me. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, you know, all this weakness of man is why we have this escapism mindset. Lord, I will try. This world is full of evil. But I'll try. And one day we'll just fly and meet you. Leave our cloth on the earth. And be raptured into you. That is why we have this escapism mindset. We want to be escaped. All of a sudden, Lord, just come and take us. We will try, Lord, and not sin. Then one day, you take us. No! We have glory in Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? Yes, say, I've got glory in Christ Jesus. Now, Romans 6, so that you think, you know that It is written in the scriptures. We'll read from verse, let's just enjoy it, from verse 1. And we close. One, two, go. You know why Paul is saying this, right? Romans 5, the last verse, he said, where there is sin, grace abounds even more. So he's now asking, I hope people are not misunderstanding me. Am I saying that where, what shall we do then? Shall we continue to live in sin that grace may abound? Next part of scripture. Certainly not. How shall we who died into sin live any longer? Who are the people that have encountered grace? We are dead to sin. We cannot live in it anymore. Next part of scripture. Or do you not know that as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Did you see that? Next part of scripture. Therefore, read out loud. Next part of scripture. Read it in the Amplified version. One, two, go. This is not futuristic. You will see it. Next part of scripture. Was what? So that. Are you seeing this? No longer be what? Slaves to sin. Next part of scripture. Are you dead with Christ? Freed from the power of sin. You see that? Of course, somebody that is dead with Christ will not be holding on to the law. Because the law is the strength of what? Sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What is the law? I don't want to sin. That consciousness of not wanting to sin comes from looking at the law. Being focused at the law. Your eyes become blinded from seeing Christ. But when you turn to Christ, you say, I cannot sin. When you turn to the law, he said, you should not sin. That when you turn to Christ, I cannot sin. It gives you boldness. We have not received the spirit to fear again. But the spirit of what? Sound mind. Of what? Power. And of what? Love. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? In Christ, you speak as a king. Under the law, you are careful not to do it. You speak like a slave. For the person who has died with Christ has been freed from sin, the power of sin forever. Next part of scripture. It says, now if we died with Christ, we what? Next part of scripture. Dead no longer has power. Next part of scripture. Next part of scripture. It says, consider yourselves. Consider yourselves. Say, I'm dead to sin. My relationship with sin broken. I was teaching some people where I play football. So amazed they were. I said to them, the reason why people sin is because they expect themselves to sin. Do you know 90% of humanity thinks sin is a norm? They wake up in the morning and said, Lord, forgive us our sin. The one will remember. The one will remember not. God did not create us to be beings of sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He created us in his what? Image and likeness. So don't expect to sin. Wake up in the morning and say, I know in the name of Jesus that I cannot sin. Like Paul is not, I may not, but I cannot. I can do all things. Not I may do all things, I can. Are you here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Have you been so blessed?
Yes, sir.
Let me end the service here. Glory to God forevermore. Some of you are carrying WIs. I'm seeing it. So let me allow you rest. Bow your heads. Let's thank God for his word. Give him all the praise.
Where will I be if you left me, God? Where will I be if you left me, God? Where will I be if you left me, God? Where will I be if you left, you waited, you waited, you waited, you waited. Where will I be if you left me, God? Where will I be?
Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' gracious name. Amen.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.